Over the past decade, we've seen crowdfunding become a common thing online, whether it be crowdfunding for an event, to support those affected by natural disasters, or even to support people with medical conditions. It's an interesting way of raising money from across the world. Recently, author Brandon Sanderson has had one of the fastest and largest successful Kickstarters, raising $35 million for his new novels, which asks the question, where is the place of traditional publishing now that Kickstarters are a viable option? To tell us more about Kickstarters and publishing, we're joined by literature and digital media expert Dr. Julian Novitz from Swinburne University. Thanks for joining me on The Record this morning.
Thanks, Fiona. Great to be here.
So just to begin, can you walk us through the situation with author Brandon Sanderson and one of the Kickstarters to reach its goal?
Well, Brandon Sanderson is a renowned fantasy fiction author. He first attained prominence in the early 2000s with a couple of epic fantasy novels, and then was chosen by the widow of the famous fantasy writer Robert Jordan to complete Robert Jordan's unfinished Wheel of Time series, which is just the television adaptation of which has just launched. So he built up a strong reputation over that time and has a really strong and dedicated fan base all around the world. And in terms of this Kickstarter, apparently this comes out of four fantasy novels that Sanderson wrote during COVID and during isolation. And rather than take them, which are loosely connected to his ongoing fantasy saga, the Cosmere, and rather than taking these to a traditional publisher, I believe he publishes with Tor Books, he decided to self-publish these by his own publishing enterprise, Dragonsteel Books. And he put up a Kickstarter, initially asking for the fairly modest goal of roughly $1 million US to fund self-publishing these. And now, as you mentioned, the Kickstarter is still ongoing. It still has 15 days to complete, and it's up to about, you know, 35 million US. So it's been massively overfunded, and I believe it is now the most successful, financially successful Kickstarter of all time. So he's really broken records in this field. And it's in a way that's, you know, quite surprising, or very surprising, for a publishing enterprise, as opposed to where Kickstarter has been normally more associated with events, with technology and video games.
Yeah, when you think of Kickstarters, you really think of those independent, small-time businesses or teams just trying to launch their product and get a gauge of who's interested in their technology.
Yeah, yeah. So usually it's for starter funds or kind of enough kind of funding to get a publisher interested or get some financial backing from a more conventional organization. In this case, Sanderson is essentially able to do it all himself. You know, it's funding that will see these books published by his own press and his own imprint.
It's really quite interesting. And with him especially, like you said, he's got a massive following, which I'm sure has helped immensely, as we know, from $1 million to $35 million.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm still watching it go up at the moment. So it is, I think, there are three reasons why Sanderson is so successful in this particular enterprise. I mean, first off, he already has a substantial profile as a fantasy fiction writer. He has a very strong readership that's already in place, that's come out of his traditional publishing and also the work that he did completing the Wheel of Time sequence. Sanderson as well also has a lot of connection or personal connection with his fan base. He used to, before COVID, he used to spend apparently about a third of his time traveling and doing book tours and signings and conventions and events, which is an enormous amount of time for an author to spend on the road. And he's hugely active on social media as well. So he has a regular YouTube series. He runs, I believe, two podcasts and is a regular presence on Instagram and Twitter. So he reaches out to his fans and his community of readers via those channels as well, and really cultivates them. He's also run workshops as a creative writing teacher extensively as well. So he's really invested in building that audience directly himself. He's not been remote or isolated as a writer. Mm. And finally as well, his press, Dragonsteel Books, has been producing limited edition runs of his novels and merchandise based on his writing for quite a while now. So there's this assurance that he's probably going to be able to deliver a quality product at the end of this as well. So You know, people, his fan base already know that he produces quality work through having this established infrastructure already in place for self-publishing ventures. So I believe a couple of years ago, he had previously run a successful and also overfunded Kickstarter campaign to produce a limited edition imprint of one of his previously published novel in a two-volume leather-bound edition, which was previously successful and produced. So there's already he already has a proven track record with Kickstarter, essentially, here.
So you're listening to On the Record, and we're joined by Dr. Julian Novitz from Swinburne University, and we're discussing Kickstarter's crowdfunding and its place within the writing industry. Now, how common is it for writers and beginning writers to use crowdfunding pages like Kickstarter to fund their books and their careers?
Well, I mean, for beginning writers, it's not all that common. I mean, a lot of writers who are starting out or just generating a following or interest in their work online are more likely to use something like Patreon to, you know, if they've set up a website, if they're publishing some material and they're trying to get a little bit of regular kind of crowdfunded income coming in, that's usually the approach to do it. You know, for an unknown writer to set up a kind of a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter campaign to fund the publication of their book, that's going to be a tougher prospect, because one, the audience isn't necessarily going to be familiar with their writing to the extent where they might be prepared to invest in it to actually fund the cost of self-publishing, and two, again, there wouldn't be necessarily the assurance of a quality product at the end of that. I mean, self-publishing costs are relatively substantial if you're talking about producing print hard copy editions of the writer's work, and you know, often the association with self-publishing is that it's going to produce a relatively cheap, low quality product. So that might be quite daunting for audiences to come to it. For a writer like Sanderson, this kind of campaign makes a lot of sense, because he already has this dedicated press that he's created over the years. I mean, Dragonsteel Books employs about 30 publishing professionals. It's like the size of a mid-tier publishing house in its own right. So there's this assurance that quality publications are going to come out of it. Other writers like Neil Gaiman and George R. R. Martin have had who are also within this fantasy fiction writing genre and have these dedicated and established fan bases, have also experimented with self-publishing projects and that have produced kind of quality merchandise at the end of it. So in a sense, it feels like an approach that's going to be much more valid for writers who are already established in their careers rather than writers who are just starting out and still building their audiences and fan bases.
Yeah, I can imagine, despite the fact that it is pretty accessible for anyone to jump online and start their own Kickstarter, their own crowdfunding, they don't have that added support that I guess you would have with a publisher who'd be able to walk you through all those steps to make sure you have that best quality product, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. So publishers still play an enormously important role in literary and fiction writing ecosystems. I mean, they provide copy editing and support for, and structural editing support for writers in terms of producing a high quality product, and also promotion. It's important to remember here that Brian Sanderson had the opportunity to build his fan base because he was published by Tor Books in the US and could draw upon their marketing expertise to position himself in the fantasy fiction writing marketplace. And it's important as well that Sanderson himself has said that he's not necessarily turning his back on traditional publishing because of the success of this campaign. He's still interested in collaborating with his publishers and working with his publishers to produce and sell books. This is more an offshoot for his practice, a way to work on a project that's entirely determined and controlled by him alongside traditional publishing ventures. So I think you know, publishers are still going to play an enormously important role in launching the careers of emerging writers, but once they reach a kind of a mid-career point or a breakout period of success, then exploring some of these crowdfunding ventures and for their own you know, individually controlled publishing projects might become more viable.
Do you think there'll be much of an impact on the publishing industry when we see these bigger named authors start to branch out and do all their own publishing?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I think it will still exist alongside traditional publishing in a fairly significant way. I mean, we might see publishers, increasing their advances to already established and significant and successful writers in order to keep them within the sphere of traditional publishing or to sign up rights to their books. As I'm sure a lot of writers might be looking at Sanderson's success here and thinking, you know, the profit margins are pretty great here in terms of, you know, by essentially cutting out the middle person, Sanderson is potentially bringing in quite a lot of profit by pre-selling his books that he's already written directly to his audience. The important thing to remember here and why Sanderson is a bit of an exceptional case is that Sanderson already has this pre-existing self-publishing infrastructure behind him. Dragonsteel Books is well established. Fans and readers know that it's going to produce high-quality products. So for even a relatively successful writer just starting up a Kickstarter online, they might not necessarily have the same success as Sanderson if they don't already have that similarly well-established self-publishing venture that he does. It's one thing to say, you know, I'm going to self-publish these books that I've written and start drawing in audiences and funding. It's another to actually go ahead and do it. Because Sanderson already has the infrastructure of Dragonsteel Books to draw upon, his backers can be assured that these books are going to come out as high-quality products, and importantly as well, that they'll come out on time, that there won't be substantial delays, which has been, you know, an experience with other Kickstarter and self-and crowdfunding projects, particularly in the tech sphere.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree. I myself have been involved with a few Kickstarters, and it's always that, it's been delayed again. Is it going to come out? But with this, like you were saying, because he has such a prominent fan base, they already know what they're signing up for, and he's already got those people behind him.
Yeah, and he's already delivered on crowdfunding projects in the past as well. So, and I think in some ways with an established author who has a reputation for putting out books quickly, or at least in a timely fashion, and because he's already written these books as well, these are all completed manuscripts, I mean, I think people can back this project with a level of assuredness that you know, he's going to deliver on these goals, whether it's just the e-publication of the books, or the physical copies, or the additional merchandise that he's promising at the higher tiers. So,
do you think over the next few years to a decade, we'll start to see crowdfunding and Kickstarters to become a bit of a norm for writers because it's backed by the audience and people who are genuinely interested in their content?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, first off, there will, as there always is with successful Kickstarter campaigns, there will be copycats of various kinds. I'm sure other successful fantasy authors or authors in other genres will be duplicating Sanderson's campaign to a certain extent. You know, it's also important to acknowledge that a lot of writers now are moving away from a sole reliance on traditional publishing arrangements and are thinking about hybrid publishing arrangements as well. Whether they're crowdfunding or not, they might be thinking about retaining, say, the digital rights on books that they sign over or publish with traditional publishers so that they can publish and promote those themselves internationally. And they might also be earmarking particular writing projects for self-publishing, either in electronic formats or in print formats or both, so they retain control over those particular writing and literary projects. It's going to become, I think, increasingly common. And I think what this campaign reminds us, though it's an exceptional case in some ways, is that, you know, traditional publishing arrangements aren't the only route that writers have out there for getting their work across to an audience or for delivering material to an audience. Self-publishing ventures at all levels, whether they're purely digital or a more print-focused campaign like Sanderson's is, you know, they're becoming an increasingly important and increasingly prominent part of writing practice for writers at all levels of their careers.
Well, thank you so much, Julian, for joining us on The Record and walking us through this amazing Kickstarter and what it means for traditional publishing.
Wonderful. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you. That was Dr. Julian Novitz, literature and digital media expert from Swinburne University. We were discussing the author Brandon Sanderson and how his Kickstarter for his new books broke some of the biggest records in terms of fastest and largest Kickstarters to reach their goals. We also discussed the place of Kickstarters and crowdfunding in relation to traditional publishing means and how beneficial the medium is for new authors.